This morning, we're going to start a new series that we're calling One Another's. And if you look in the New Testament, you can see the One Another's again and again and again. Some almost 60 times we see one another followed by something. And 16 out of those almost 60 times, the one another is love one another. We are to love one another. Jesus said it this way in the Gospel of John, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another." In other words, the way I have lived, the way I have loved, the way I have served on this earth, now it's your turn to live and love and to serve. "By this," Jesus said, "everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Everyone will know that you're my student, that I'm your teacher, I'm your rabbi, if you love one another. In fact, if you look at the way a rabbi used to walk with his disciples, was one in which the disciple was actually to become like the rabbi. It's been said that the dust off the rabbi's feet, we are to follow so closely that the dust actually gets up on us. His way of living, his way of loving, his way of serving in this world is to be the student, you and I. Our way of living and loving and serving, we are to love one another. And what happens as a result of that? Well, Jesus said, they will know. They're going to know that you and I are connected, that I belong to you, you belong to me, that you're my student, if you love one another. There was a man that was really wondering what that looked like. And Jesus told a story to him. He was a teacher of the law. He had some questions about what it meant to really love, like Jesus was speaking about there, to love one another. And so he went to Jesus and he said to him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus turned to this expert in the law and he said to him, "Well, you're the expert in the law." Okay, he didn't actually say it quite that way. He said it this way, "What is written in the law?" Like, you know. You're the expert. He replied, this is Jesus, "How do you read it? How do you read the law? You tell me." And the man answered him, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." This guy was quoting something that the Israelites would speak every single morning and every single evening. It's a thing called the Shema out of the Old Testament, book of Deuteronomy. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." And then he added to this, "and your neighbor as yourself." To which Jesus said, "You have answered correctly. Do this. Don't just talk about it. Don't just know about it. Do this and you will live." But the man wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "Who's my neighbor?" And then Jesus did what he was such a master at doing. He painted a picture for him. "Let me tell you a story." Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he was attacked by robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to that place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to the inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, this is money, and gave it to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense that you have.'" And Jesus said, "Now, which of these do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hand of those robbers?" Well, the expert of the law said, "The one who showed compassion to him." And Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise. Again, the do word there. Go and do. Don't just know. Go and do. Now, for many of you that are listening here this morning, many of you that are a part of our church, I want to share something familiar, because at this time, we want to feel familiar. For those of you that are just becoming a part of our church, this is going to be a new story for you. We have a bunch of children, our church does, a bunch of children in Uganda. In fact, an entire school is ours, really. The children belong to us and us to them, and we've helped sponsor them through Compassion International, some 300-plus students that we sponsor at this particular school. And when I was in Uganda, my most recent trip there was a little girl named Ketra. She's a girl that Kathy and I, my wife and I, sponsor. And I was walking through this crowded area of people, and I felt a tug on my coat, and I turned around, and much to my surprise, in the midst of this massive crowd, there was little Ketra there, and I dropped down, and I'd seen her before when I visited Uganda, and sent letters to her, and I gave her a hug, and she whispered in my ear, "Daddy, I did not know you were here." And I choked up at that moment, and I said, "I'm coming to your school in just a few days to visit you and the rest of the children." Well, when we got to the school, there was just two of us on that trip, myself and another pastor. We sat down, and this very story I just read you, the kids enacted for us. They put a play on for us. A little 8-year-old, maybe 8-year-old girl was the narrator of the story, and her voice having that thick African accent, just beautiful, as she shared it through a microphone. And they acted it out, and the little boy stepped out with a backpack on, and he got attacked by two bigger boys and thrown onto the ground, not so hard that he got hurt, but thrown onto the ground. They took his backpack and left him there. And then a priest came walking by, a little girl that was walking on by, and she looked and said, "Oh, so sorry." And then she did one of these numbers, and I actually started to laugh a little bit. I'm like, wrong kind of priest. This is an Old Testament thing. And then a Levite came by, another young child came by and looked and said, "So sorry," and walked on by. And then the Samaritan, another child, came walking by and stepped over and said, "Oh, what can I do for you?" And helped this little child up onto the back of another child that was a donkey. And then they walked over to a chair, which was the inn or the hospital, put the child into the inn, took care of the child, bandaged him up, talked to the innkeeper and said, "Whatever it costs, I will do whatever it takes to help this child, help this Samaritan." Or help this person, rather. The Samaritan's the one doing the good deed. To help this person. And then the little girl, the little 8-year-old doing the narrating, said to me, "Musumba," which means pastor in Uganda, "Musumba, which one of these showed to be the real neighbor?" I answered, because it's a fairly easy answer. It's the one who showed compassion. Her response was, "You have answered correctly." And I thought, all right. Like, yeah, I knew I answered correctly. It's the Bible story. And yet, when she spoke next, I had no idea that she was going to make that turn. And then she said of us, Fairhaven Church, she said, "This is what you have done for us. You have cared for us and you have taken care of us. Jesus said, love one another, and in so doing, others will know that you're my disciple. I wish I could have taken all of you, whether you're a part of the physical church that has gathered in the past at Fairhaven or our new online church that is gathering with us right now. I wish all of you could have been a part of that moment. It was so, so powerful to recognize that we stepped in where they had need to be the very hands and feet of Jesus. I think about the time that we're in right now and what our church is doing right now to be that answer in our community. I can't list them all, because when I think about who we are, we're as many as are gathered here right now. The church is you. The church is out of the building, and you're out there living and loving and serving. And the call is, will you just love the way I loved? Will you live the way I lived? Will you serve the way I served? And I'm hearing all kinds of creative ideas about how to love our children well and love our family well and love our neighbors well. I heard about a young woman that just got engaged and she wanted to share it with her grandfather. And her grandfather's actually going to be the one that's walking her down the aisle. And her grandfather's in a residential home and she went outside of his window and showed the ring to him and said, "I'm engaged." And you can see the recording of it, and she eventually put her hand on the glass. "I love you, Grandpa." And he stepped up and he put his hand on the other side of hers with a pane of glass in between. "I love you too." So powerful. So beautiful. I think about what your church is doing, because we, Fairhaven, we've been in this community, serving this community and loving this community. And because of the way you have lived and loved and served, you've made a name for this church in a way that when people have need, they come to us. School districts come to us. And we have partnered with local churches in this community. Sunrise Church, just across the street from us, Kitty Corner over here, by the Ball Diamonds. It's the collection place for food for this entire area, for Jenison Schools, and Love in the Name of the Christ. Down the road this direction, Love. Our partner in ministry is being the answer for food and provisions for people that are in this area, for Hudsonville School Districts. Fellowship CRC over in Granville area is the place for gathering and distributing food and other provisions for the Granville area. I think about hand-to-hand ministry. 12 years ago, hand-to-hand was nothing but a dream here that began to get birthed out of our church. And 12 years ago, Linda Cole and Karen Thompson, they decided they would be the first volunteers that hand-to-hand ever had and began to just pack food for a few kids over at Sandy Hill School. That has grown to feeding some 7,000 kids now on a weekend. And all of those get distributed. The food gets distributed for weekend food for food insecure kids. Well, the community is going, how do we distribute the food now? The need is still there. The need is higher than it's been before, because now those children are home every single day. How do we distribute that food when the schools are shut down? And we said we'll be the answer. So it's our parking lot, right out of our parking lot. There yesterday from Friday from 6 to 8 in the evening and from 10 to 12 in the morning, food was distributed. All the churches packed their food, brought it into our parking lot, sat in their cars, and it was drive-by blessing of food. Our hand-to-hand coordinators doubled up the amount of food in order to make a difference. We have a COVID-19 response team we've already put in place. Your staff is working so hard that we might use the resources that we have, both people resources and financial resources, to respond to the needs in our community. You can go to any one of our websites in our Harbor churches. You can go to our website at Fairhaven Church, and you will find there a COVID response team. And that team is being led by Rachel Reinink, one of our pastors who preached on this very platform just a few weeks ago. Rachel's leading the charge, and every one of our seven churches has somebody in it that is going to make a difference. And we have a get help or to give help form, so that if you need help, you can get it. And if you are willing to give help, you can sign up and volunteer. And we're going to respond within 12 hours of every single person that puts in a need that they might have. And we're going to use our partners to push them out to our partners to say, here's where you can get help. Our churches go from Wayland Harbor, way down on our south edge, from Wayland, all the way to our northern edge over in Walker. We have connections all the way in Holland and Grand Rapids, Michigan. We are in this area to make a difference in this area. Love one another as I have loved you. Serve one another as I have served you. We're doing that as individuals, and we're doing that as a collective body. I received a phone call from a few people from our church, but one in particular from a friend of mine. It's the first one I received like this. And he said, "What are the needs? What can I do? How can I give? Because I want to give to something right now that is going to really make a difference." And he was processing with me and said, "What's happening in our church? What are we doing?" I began to describe what I just described to you. And he said, "I'm in." He and his wife decided to give extra right now, not just for what we're doing, but to prepare us for what yet is to come, so that we will be in a position as a church to make a huge difference. Now, for those of you that are maybe hearing me for the first time or the second time because you came to our online service last week, you may not know this, but the people that are regular at Fairhaven on a Sunday morning here, I don't ask for financial support too often like this. I don't make that pitch, but today, this isn't for us. This is for the community that we're in. This is to be prepared so that we can really respond to the need that's coming. And you can go to our website there too if you want to know how you can really practically love right now one another and prep us to be that kind of community, to be that church in our community. You can go to our website, and right on our website there's a way to give, a simple, a secure way to give online to make a real difference. Thank you for being a part of the answer. And before we conclude, I want to pray for you and your homes. I want to pray for us as a church. I want to pray that we would be creative in the way that we fulfill this command of Jesus, this beautiful invitation. Come, be like me, live and love and serve. Let's pray together. Father, I bless you for how good you are, for the truth that you are a God that never leaves, nor do you forsake. For the fact that there are so many things that you could do, there's just one thing you cannot do. You cannot fail us, and you will not. And we want to be good news in our community, as we have been for decades. We want to be good news to our neighbors as we pray for them and think about them. We want to be prepared for what is yet to come, to step into the need of those people that you love and we love too, that are part of our church or beyond the walls of our church, that are just in the community, anywhere from Wayland to Walker to the shores of Lake Michigan and Grand Rapids. We just want to be ready. And so may we trust and may we love the way you love. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.